Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Boy, I love that song. I think of Brother Roloff as soon as I hear that song, Living by Faith. And it's hard to believe in just a couple weeks it will be, what, 34 or 35 years, Dad, that Brother Roloff, I think it was 1981 that they passed. So that was 34 years this November 2nd. My cousin was killed in the plane crash with Brother Roloff. She was one of the girls on the plane with him. And I got to meet Brother Roloff personally several times. And what a neat fella. Would to God we had men of God like that today. Amen. We wouldn't have in the White House what we have, that's for sure. All right, Hebrews chapter 5. God's doing it. It's kicking back in. Amen. Let's start reading in verse 11. Of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing you're dull of hearing. Notice that little statement there, dull of hearing. For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, if you'll look at me for a minute, I'm going to just review for a moment our first lesson about making biblical sense of our senses. The word sense or senses is used only one time in the Bible, and that is right here in Hebrews chapter 5. Twice the word sensual is used, once in the book of Jude, once in the book of James, James chapter 3, and then Jude verse 19. Both use the word sensual, and it's in reference to lost people who allow their senses to lead them. Now, let me remind you, God made us in his image. We were created in the image of God. By the way, that means that we have the same senses that God has. God has joy. God has taste. God has sight. God has hearing. God has the ability to touch. He has all the same five senses we have. We were made in his image, and he gave us those senses not just so that we could enjoy life here, but so that we could enjoy life the way he enjoys life. So we could understand him better. The sunrise this morning was beautiful. If you didn't get up before it came up, let me tell you, it was pretty. But may I say this, God didn't give it and didn't put it up there so that we would look up and say, boy, isn't that beautiful? I just enjoy that. He put it up there because he enjoys seeing it. And when we see it, we're supposed to enjoy it as he enjoys it. And that is why he gave us our senses. Now, I say that to say this. Sin caused our senses to get out of whack. The moment man sinned, his senses began to be different. If you went back to Genesis chapter 3, you can read it later. The moment man sinned, he saw that he was naked. His senses became corrupted. And because of that, man then, his spirit died, but his senses then were not exactly the way God had made them because they're now tainted by sin. Now, listen to this very carefully. Man then also began to be led by his senses. Before he was not led by his senses, he was led by God's command. When a lost person is living their life, we'll often say, man, they're living like a bunch of animals. Well, because an animal has a body and a soul, but no spirit. A person who is lost has a body and a soul, but a dead spirit. And that's why they live like an animal. Matter of fact, they live worse than an animal because man knows better and an animal doesn't. Now, the world revolves now on what we call sensualism. The farther away from God we get, the farther away we get from the Bible, the more sensual the world gets. When we get saved, our senses can grow and develop and be more of what God intended them to be, though they will never reach that until we get to heaven, just so you know. But we can get them a little closer to the way God intended them to be. Now, let me show you what I mean. The world's philosophy: if it feels good, do it. Eat, drink, and be merry. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. As long as I don't hurt someone else, why can't I do this? That's the world's philosophy today. Now, the music industry, the entertainment industry, and virtually the advertising industry, the news industry, all of it is based on sensuality. Good night, you can't get a piece of bubble gum without sensualism being involved in it. I mean, everything involves how something feels. Everybody's all up in arms over, guns kill people. Ben Carson had it right. Stack all the guns in Central Park, not one of them's going to jump off the pile and jump out and shoot somebody. It takes a person to shoot somebody. The first murder in the Bible didn't have a gun. Man had been murdering one another for millenniums before there ever was a gun. Everybody doing okay? So it's not the gun that kills, it's people in sin, period. Now, man has accepted that he's an animal. That's why man accepts the demonic philosophy of evolution. You hear the term, I caused a little bit of a stir last week, but I'm okay with it, and I think it caused some of you to research. Man is not a mammal. Man is man. Mammal is animal. Whales are mammals. People are not mammals. Everybody doing okay? See, the world wants you to believe you're no different than an animal. Well, if you're lost, you aren't. But if you're saved, you are. Take your Bible, turn to Psalm 8. I want to show you something. Psalm 8. And look at verse number. This is one of my favorite psalms. But look at verse number 4. What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him? Watch this. For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beast of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all of the earth. God made man just a little lower than the angels. Guess what? The angels were in heaven. They were perfect creations. Man in Eden was a perfect creation. Our sin messed it up. It didn't say that we're like the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and everything that creepeth upon the face of the earth. It said that it's under our dominion. We are to dominate. That's what the word dominion means. It means have power over. We're not supposed to let Spotty the owl tell us what to do. We're supposed to tell Spotty the owl what to do. So God made us a little lower than the angels. Now, I'm going to try to get you to think with me for a second. When God made animals, he spoke them into existence. When God made all of the animals and everything that's on the earth, he spoke it into existence. When God made man, it doesn't say he created man, it says he made man. He took from the dirt and made and formed man with his hands. We were created differently than all other creation. We were made differently than all creation. By the way, I can prove that you're not a mammal. Did you know that if you were going to have surgery and you needed a blood transfusion, they're not going to get blood out of a dolphin and put it in you? You cannot put animal blood in people. The blood doesn't transfer. Everybody doing okay? If your doggy gets sick, you can't give your doggy a transfusion from your body. It won't work. Can I tell you why? Because our blood is different. We were made differently, and we're not mammals. We're humans. Everybody doing all right? Okay. I'm letting science prove it, not just me. even our blood is different. Now, as we said last week, our senses grow with age. When an infant is born, their senses are not 100% developed. They don't see as far or as clearly. Their sight develops. Their hearing, they hear very well, but they don't hear sounds the same as you and I do. They hear different frequencies, different ways. And we could go on and on and on and on and on. But as a child grows and develops, those senses change. The sense of touch changes in a child. I kind of jokingly said, a child doesn't feel like an adult feels. If that were true, potty training would happen about that fast. It's uncomfortable, amen? But a child doesn't find the discomfort like an adult would find the discomfort. Does that make sense to everybody? I know that's a little crude, but it is what it is. Now, as a child grows, their senses change. Their sense of pain changes. Brother Stoltz told me tonight, my wife for many months babysat his grandchildren, to his grandkids, and his little grandson took his first steps today. That's a big deal, you know. And he's a cute little guy. He's cuter than his grandfather, but he's got about as much hair and about the same amount of teeth. But I'm teasing. But those are big things. And as Jordan grows, his senses are changing. His depth perception, an infant's depth perception is not there. And it takes time for that to develop. And so in their sight, things change. Now, I say that to say this. Sin causes our senses to be altered even worse. Somebody who, and when I say things like this, don't get mad at me, but somebody that has smoked a long time, their sense of smell is much different than someone else. That smoking will change their sense of smell. A person who drinks a lot of alcohol, their sense of taste changes. My grandfather, for many years, chewed mail pouch. That is nasty. Now, I think smoking's nasty, but chewing tobacco, that's horrid. I remember one time we bothered Grandpa. It was hot. Dad said, go for it. So I poked some of that in my mouth, chewed on it. I didn't know why Grandpa spit all the time. About the second time I got the down, it was coming back up. Why anybody would do that, I have no idea. But people's sense of taste is altered by that kind of stuff. People who live immorally, their sense of feeling is different than someone else. People who live with their... Well, I'm just going to keep on going here. Now, sin has caused something else to take place, though, with our senses. The world would call it the aging process. The aging process is the wearing down or the dulling of your senses. About 10 years ago, I kept slaughtering reading scripture publicly as an assistant pastor. My boss said, why don't you go get your eyes checked? I said, what for? They're fine. He said, just humor me. I did. I came back and had glasses. I said, how'd you know? He said, you keep slaughtering the words. You never did that before. I said, well, I kept putting a little farther away. He said, yeah, but you've run out of arm. Shut up. Now we're at the bifocal range, amen? Now, wait a minute. As we get older, our eyes change. Most people, not everybody, but most people end up with glasses the older they get. Usually by the age of 40 to 50, somewhere in that 10-year span, you at least have reading glasses, or you're carrying around a family-size, extra-large print Bible like Brother Gus. you know, you just, it happens. That's your eye senses begin to, the eyes, actually the part of your eye that the lens begins to thicken. And because it begins to thicken, it doesn't move right and doesn't focus as well. He also in later years often will develop cataracts, not Lincoln's cataracts, but you'll develop those things and have to have those cut out and all those kind of things. And some of the kids are going, what's that about? Never mind. Ask later. But sin's effect on our senses causes it to begin to dull our senses as we get older. And I want to focus on that just for a minute tonight. Number one, man was originally made to live forever. Sin stopped that. Man was originally made to live forever, but our sin stopped that. Did you know that had Adam and Eve not disobeyed God, our bodies would have never gotten old? Adam was 950 when he died. Now think about that. Noah's dad was alive when Adam was alive. Now think through that one for a little while. Now, Adam still died, but he was 950. Methuselah was 969, 968, something like that. I mean, these people would live 100 years before they started having children. Lord have mercy, my grandmother's going to be 98 in April. If she starts having children again, we in trouble. In more than one way, we're in trouble. Let me say something here. Sin has caused that degeneration over time. And the more we sin, the more this degeneration takes place. Now, listen to this very carefully. We were made in God's image. God does not age because he's not sinned. He's eternal because he does not have sin. Sin brought death, not just our physical death, but a spiritual death. Now watch this. When a person gets born again, did you know that their spirit can revive their senses a little bit? And their physical senses can actually begin to improve because of spiritual life being brought back to the body. I watch it all the time. I led a lady to the Lord. I won't tell you when. But she has a disorder that is not one that I'm even going to mention. When she got saved, her whole life changed. She spent 20 years going from place to place, trying to get help, couldn't do it. Even went to a well-known place in a big city nearby here. And the doctor said, we could help you, but it's going to cost you tens of thousands of dollars. I sat down and wondered to Christ. And within 2 weeks, she hadn't had any trouble with that same disorder. Now, it's not something that's miraculous. It's just because that spirit got reborn. And in the rebirthing of the spirit, it was able to help the body do what it was supposed to do. And had a foundation on which to build. I sat in the living room and said, you can pray all you want, but until you obey what God said, it's not going to help you. I said, I'm not saying just because you get saved, all your problems are going away. I said, you're still going to experience this, 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 and this is how you should do it. And that lady looked at me. She said, do you know I've had two doctors tell me almost verbatim what you just said? I said, I don't doubt it. I said, what they had to say is right. Here's the problem. That alone won't fix it. Getting born again is what's going to fix it. She has sat in this auditorium and you'd never even know it. Can I tell you why? Because she got saved. And it totally changed all of those senses in her. All right? Now, everybody doing all right? I'm having fun. Number two. So man was originally made to live forever, but sin stopped that. Number two. As we age, sin grips our body and our senses become dulled. As we age, sin grips our body and our senses become dulled. Look at, we were there in Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 11. It talked about that their hearing was dulled. That term dulled means it wasn't as sharp. Now, listen to me very carefully. I did some research in some medical books in the last couple weeks. Did you know that a child hears very high frequencies just like a dog or a cat would? Younger children and young, I call them tweeners, just about the age of 13 or so and lower, hear a much higher frequency than most everybody else. That's why a lot of them set their cell phones with pitches that are very high so nobody else can hear them ring but them. They have certain pitches that they can get for their phones and things that are an alarm that they can hear that most adults cannot hear. But by the time you hit your middle teen years, up to about the 20 megahertz, you're not able to hear that anymore. And that sense begins to break down from the middle teen years on. Some of you older folks, you know what I'm talking about. You got to be looking at somebody so that you can read their lips and hear kind of what they're saying. Depending on what kind of machinery you worked around, it gets even worse. I got to be careful shooting my guns anymore. I shot so many guns too many times with no hearing protection that, man, if I shoot a pistol anymore without earplugs or something, that's just, I can't hear for 2 days. I mean, it's just, all you hear is this high-pitched ringing in your ears. And, yeah, it's like what you have between your ears all the time, Brother Barnes. All right? But it's not going whoosh. All right? You opened your mouth. I'll feel it. Amen? Now, so the hearing actually begins to break down from your middle teen years on to certain frequencies. And the older you get, those higher pitches and those lower pitches are hard to hear. Brother Hiles, about the time he turned 70 or so, got hearing aids. I don't know why. He kept them in his pocket all the time. He did. He'd put them, he couldn't preach with them in. He finally got to where he could preach with one in, but he couldn't preach with both in because of the way things were bouncing in there. I don't understand it all, but I do. But he told me, I was sitting in a meeting with him, and everybody else would be talking. He'd say, "Hang on, Brother Bush." Okay, go ahead. He said, "The pitch of your voice." He said, "It's not the volume." He said, "I hear the volume, but your pitch is low enough, I can't perceive it in my ear." He said, it's not a high enough pitch. He said, "Guys that have a lower pitch voice, I have a hard time hearing." He explained it to everybody else in the room. And then he said, "If all you got, the guys would learn to talk like a man like he does, I would have to wear them all the time." Thank you, preacher. But he didn't rip me for it. He ripped them for it. But that lower tone caused him to not be able to hear it as well. It wasn't the volume. He'd say it again. I'd say it again louder. He'd say, "I know you said it louder because I could hear it louder, but hang on." He'd reach in his pocket. He'd put his hearing aid in. "Okay, now let's try it. Hey, quit yelling at me." And he'd go after it again, you know. That's the way it is. Now, by the time most people hit 40 or 50, you're at least hiding your glasses at home when you read, not bringing them to church like you should. And we were not going to mention any names, all right? Then, take your Bible, turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. I want to show you something. God shows us in the Bible what happens as we get older to our senses. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and I'm going to hurry here. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, let's start reading, I'll start reading in verse number 1. "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened or the clouds return after the rain, In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble. Ooh, the keepers of the house shall tremble. That's talking about when you get older. Do you ever notice when somebody gets a little older, their hands begin to tremble a little bit? We were at my grandmother's here a couple months ago, and at 97, she's as feisty as they come. And she'd get her old hand up there, and it's all curled up and gnarled, but she just trembles. Say why? Because the hands just tremble more. And the older you get, the more shaky you get. And the Bible says here, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble. The keepers of the house, that's your hands. All right? By the way, your body is the house. These are the keepers of your house. Next part. And the strong men shall bow themselves. That's your back. Do you ever notice the older a person gets, the more the back kind of leans over? It's because there's too much out front pulling it down. Amen? I'm learning that. But the older you get, the more, Thomas, you can sit up all you want, but when you stand up, it's still pulling. I saw that one. Most of the older people, their shoulders will stoop a little bit. I used to watch Brother Hiles. I'd sit on the pulpit. A lot of times I sat on that side of him. And Brother Hiles had a preacher's posture. His shoulders were like this from leaning over a pulpit so many years. Even when he stood, his shoulders were pulled forward in his latter years. And he was a stately fellow, but his shoulders just began to droop those last 5 or 10 years a little bit more. Next, and the grinders cease because they are few. What are the grinders? That's your teeth. My poor grandma. She wore a set of false teeth out. They found out she couldn't eat because the back teeth and her false teeth, they weren't there. She hadn't been eating in months, and they couldn't figure out why. She could only chew with her front teeth, and they pulled. She never takes them out of her mouth for anybody to look at them. And they finally said, well, let me see them. There was nothing left of the back couple teeth. So they had to make her a new set of teeth. That's not a happy lady right now. They've made her a new set of teeth. She said, I feel like I got all the kitchen cabinet in my mouth right now. I was laughing at her the other day about it. She actually not only wore out a set of teeth, but a set of false teeth on top of it. She's working on teeth number three, amen? Now, the older you get, sometimes your teeth aren't as good. They wear down, and sometimes you lose them. And I'm not going to point any direction. All right, then. And those that look out of the windows be darkened. Some of the older folks don't see as well, especially at night. The darker it gets, the harder it is to see, and the glare gets worse. And sometimes some of the older folks won't come when it's dark outside because it's getting dangerous for them to see when it's real dark outside. They don't do real well. All right, verse 4. And the door shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low. Ooh, they don't hear real well. I'm not going to mention any names because I'm going to get in trouble if I do. But I've walked into people's homes and I'm thinking, I can hear the TV outside. Why in the world is it up that loud? Well, they can't hear it anymore, so they just keep turning it up. I'm thinking, wow, it's getting pretty rough. I can hear that from half a block away. Now, that's what it's talking about here, when the grinding is low and they don't hear it. And he shall rise up at the voice of the bird. Wow. The older you get, sometimes the harder it is to sleep. It takes the littlest thing to get you up. It's amazing. My wife said, if that happens to me, I'm in trouble. Because I'm already that way. A lot of times the older folks don't sleep real well, and it doesn't take but a little noise, and they're concerned about what it is, or they'll get up several times hearing things and that kind of stuff. Verse number 5, also when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fears shall be in the way. Do you ever notice the older somebody gets, they get a little bit more cautious? And they should. They should. Some of you fellas don't need to be up on ladders anymore. I'm not pointing out any names, all right? But there comes a point in time where I know from here up you can still do it. But from there down, you shouldn't do it, okay? Let somebody else with young legs go up and do it. Now, Brother Gus is always afraid of heights. He doesn't like standing on a chair. I got to change filters on the AC units on this roof. Well, there's no roof access. We've got a 30-foot ladder, and it's 30 feet to the spouting, literally. So a 30-foot ladder on the ground does not reach to the top of the spouting on this building. Brother Ron and I, he's held the bottom of the ladder. What good it does, I don't know, because he's not going to stop a 30-foot ladder from coming over, but makes him feel better. I'm crawling up there in my suit with a couple things in my arm, going up, changing things up here, come back down. Going up's not bad, but when you got to lean out over that roof and you don't know where the ladder is, and you're hearing Brother Ron, a little bit to the right, preacher, and you're thinking, oh man, I hope I hit this thing. The fall's not scary. It's the sudden stop at the bottom when you go, that bothers me. You know, so we finally figured out a way. We put that thing in the back of a pickup truck, and it gets us a couple feet higher, and then we can actually see it to get back on it when we get up there. Amen? So, Brother Gus, he'll help put the ladder up, but he won't even get on the first rung. Nope. He said, preacher, I'll do anything, but I'm not going up there. I love you, preacher, but I'm leaving if you ask me to go up there. I'm not going to tell you no. I'm just leaving. Don't worry, Brother Gus. I'll go. Doesn't bother me. But the older you get, the more things affect you. Snow and ice, wet places. You're going to check those things out so you don't slip, because the bones don't heal like they used to. They break a little easier. And those types of things. Next part of that verse. And the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden. The grasshopper shall be a burden. It used to be you could handle a pretty good load. Now it doesn't take much to wear you out. You get frustrated because you used to be able to work and work and work and work, and now you do a little bit and you got to sit down and take a breather. Well, that's what happens as you get older. Okay? And watch this. Because, and shall be a burden, and desire shall fail. Did you ever notice it's harder for an older person to have drive? Their desire to do new things isn't there. Their desire to push a little harder isn't there. It's easier to give up. Can I tell you something? Keep pushing. Keep pushing. Keep driving. You got to fight it more the older you get, but keep doing it. Now, older people don't want to try new food. It's easier to say, oh, I don't like it, than try it. And I'm not going to go any farther with that, but let me say this. Our senses, because of the longevity of sin in our life, begins to break down our senses more and more with time. By the way, the more sinful a lifestyle you live, the more those senses are broken down. I'm convinced living a pure life will give you a better quality of life longer than the average person. I'm convinced of that. Now, I'm not saying that it'll be perfect. I'm not saying that you'll live longer. I'm just saying the quality-wise, you'll enjoy it longer, the more pure of a life you have lived. I believe that. Okay? Number three, and I'm done. A spiritual life can add to our senses. A spiritual life can add to our senses. Did you know when you get saved, you begin to see, to hear, to smell, to taste, and to feel things differently? It's amazing. It is amazing to watch someone who has lived I'll use the term a tougher life, maybe they get saved as an adult. They've lived a little bit of a tough life. They've tasted of sin. They've tasted of the world. They've tasted of the dregs of sin. And all of a sudden they get saved and they're thinking, how in the world did I ever do that? There is no way I'd ever go back and do that again. And then you got kids that grow up in a Christian home that want to dabble in that stuff and think that's okay. These people are running away from it and these people are running to it. Why is that? I'll tell you why that is, because they've tasted of the sin, they got saved, and their spiritual life renews their senses, and they say, I should have never done that. This is a whole lot better. Now, a kid that grows up without that, they think they're missing out. Can I tell you something? Growing up, missing out on sin is not missing out on anything. Grow up and say, I didn't drink, I didn't smoke, I didn't chew, I didn't dip, I didn't live immoral, I didn't do any of those things. It's a wonderful testimony. Back in the 70s, there was a big push, we used to call it dope to hope kind of testimonies. If somebody wasn't a drug head that got saved and gave a testimony, some Christian thought they weren't a good enough person to get up and do something. Can I tell you something? It takes more of the grace of God to live the life I have lived than to get saved out of that mess and be here. I had the same opportunity they had. I didn't take it. It's that simple. Now, I thank God for either, just so you know. But let me say, I've had the same opportunity to do wrong as everybody else did. Now, I'm not perfect. God knows that's true. Being spiritual means you're less likely to break down the body with immoral activity that dulls your senses faster. Did you know if you live by the Bible, you're not going to drink alcohol? Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. God said, quit putting liquor into your body. You're a fool. And if we obey God's commands, we don't do that, and that alcohol won't dull our sense of taste because of that. It talks about not touching someone who's not your wife. You know, if you won't rub up against each other like a bunch of old polecats, you won't have as much problem later in life. Did I say that nice enough? Did you know that heroin has no hold on me? Marijuana has no appeal to me. Tobacco has no appeal to me. Can I tell you why? I've seen what it does. I've seen people choking up lungs. I've seen people strung out on drugs. I've seen people blow their brains out and high on dope. I've seen them, their arms look like a pin cushion. Somebody that's 25, 30 years old looks like they're about 135 years old. Their eyes are sunk down into their skull. They look like a skeleton with skin on it, walking around like a zombie. And you think I want to look like that? The way of the transgressor is hard. Why would I want to live like that? These people running around with all these diseases that they get from shacking up and living around and sleeping around like a bunch of dogs. Why would anybody want to live that way? I don't understand that. Can I tell you why? Because I got saved early in life and was brought up in a spiritual life, so to speak. And I don't want my senses dulled by that stuff. Everybody doing okay? Now, don't think that being spiritual stops aging. You're going to get older. But may I say this? I believe the more spiritual you are, the longer you're spiritual, the more gracefully you'll age, the more your senses will stay intact, so to speak. You'll have better control of your senses versus allowing your senses to control you. Let's decide that we will control our senses. You control your senses by being spiritual. Did you know the reason I don't drink alcohol? Because God said, don't do it. Do you know I'm old enough to go get it? I've never bought any in my life. Never. Not one drop. Not tasting it. We moved into our house in Indiana. We'd been in that house a couple months. There was a cabinet in the garage. I was going to clean it out and put my tools out in there. I didn't know what was in there. Opened it up. There must have been, Brother Gus, 40 bottles of alcohol. I thought, oh my. I'm assistant pastor in the world's largest church, and I got a whole cabinet full of liquor, and I didn't buy a drop of this stuff. Now what? I thought, you know, I got two boys. We're going to do something. I had those big concrete or cast iron utility sinks in the basement, and I drug that stuff down there. I got my boys down there. I said, boys, this is wine. This is alcohol. This is bad. We opened up every one of those. I made those boys smell every bottle of that stuff. Do you know how bad that stuff stinks? My boys were about to barf their guts out. And they're pouring it down. This is devil juice. And they're pouring it down and all this. I mean, my boys to this day, you say the word alcohol, they hate it. They'll turn their nose up. They've never tasted it. They can't stand the smell of it. You know why? Because at 3-4 years old, I put every bottle under their nose I could, told them how bad it was, told them, you drink that, you're going to go beat your mama, and you'll beat your wife one day. I mean, I was preaching at them the whole time. Say, what'd you do? I couldn't even put those things in a bag and put them out on the curb. You know, I was afraid people look through my trash. I found a dumpster behind one of these businesses, man. We took the boys out, and I said, we're going to get rid of these things. And I hopped them in somebody else's dumpster. Say, why? I didn't want them even sitting in my driveway. And my oldest said, Daddy, why do we have to take these here? I said, because I don't want them. Do you? No, sir. I said, well, let somebody else have it. And I threw it in their trash. Amen? He said, you shouldn't have done that. I made sin exceedingly sinful. If we will learn to control our senses, teenagers, learn to control your senses. Young adults, adults, older adults, as the senses dull. Don't forget they're still there. Don't forget they're still there. Now, I'm not saying if you get older, you're never going to have trouble with your hearing or your sight or your taste or any of your senses. I did not say that. But I believe the quality of life and the quality of your senses will stay with you longer the more holy you live your life. I really believe that. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We are not to let our senses control us like an animal. Just because there's food out, a puppy dog will eat it. That doesn't mean we have to. We're not to be led by our senses. We're supposed to dominate our senses and let God do it through us.